I've learned this for certain. If discontent is your disease, travel is medicine. It resensitizes. It opens you up to see outside the patterns you follow. Because new places require new learning. It forces your childlike self back into action. When you're a kid, everything is new. You don't know what's under each rock or up the creek, so you look. You notice because you need to. The world is new. This, I believe, is why time moves so slowly as a child, why school days creep by and summer breaks stretch on. Your brain is paying attention to every second. It must, as it learns the patterns of living. Every second has value. But as you get older, and the patterns become more obvious, time speeds up. Especially once you find your groove in the working world. The layout of your days becomes predictable, a routine, and once your brain reliably knows what's next, it reclines and closes its eyes. Time pours through your hands like sand. This equation has a crummy side effect. While our child brains are absorbing the ways of the world, mislabeled patterns of survival get swept in as we grow. Bad examples, wrong thinking, mistaken assumptions. They get caught in the flow of time through adolescence and carried into adulthood, buried beneath everything else. You watch your dad fly into a rage while driving, and your little brain logs it away. You overhear your mom talking about hell, and something rearranges in your head. A building block placed so deep and quickly covered. We show up as adults confused by our own thinking and with time running out. But travel has a way of shaking the brain awake. When I'm in a new place, I don't know what's next, even if I've read all the guidebooks and followed the instructions of my friends. I can't know a smell until I've smelled it. I can't know the feeling of a New York street until I've walked it. I can't feel the hot exhaust of the bus by reading about it. I can't understand the humility of walking beneath those giant buildings. I can't smell the food stands and the cologne and the spilled coffee. Not until I go and know it in its wholeness. But once I do, that awakened brain I had as a kid, with wide eyes and hands touching everything, comes right back. This brain absorbs the new world with gusto. And on top of that, it observes itself. It watches the self and parses out old reasons and motives. The observation is wide. Healing is mixed in. This kind of attention is natural to a child. To an adult, it must be chosen. The trick is knowing when we are in fact adults and when attention is asleep. My name is Jedediah Jenkins. It's a sing-songy name, I know. Jedediah is Hebrew, and it means loved by God or friend of God. My mom was dead set on giving me a biblical name. I mean, damn, she went straight for a wild one. I was named after Jedediah Smith, the fur trapper and explorer who discovered passages over the Rockies and died at the hands of the Comanche. As a kid, I loved it and then hated it. And then loved it again. It sounded like a joke, like an Amish preacher. It was my first encounter with being different. Baby boomers would say, "Oh, like Jed Clampett, you must get that a lot." I'd say, "No, not really." People my age would say, "Ooh, like a Jedi. Are you a Jedi? Does everyone call you Jedi Master? I'm gonna call you that." They never did. On the whole, it's been nice, because people tend to remember it. I have a theory about this. When you have a weird name, one that's uncommon enough to stand out, but not a nightmare to pronounce, people remember you. And when they remember you, especially when you're young, it builds confidence. You feel special, worthy of being remembered. I don't know if this is true, clinically speaking, but I've always felt comfortable in a crowd, and I think it's at least in part because people remember my name, and that I am loved by God and God's friend, I guess.